Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen. I'm the host for the update. And this evening I'm pleased to be joined by Toni, who is someone in the Southeast Sangha who participates with her local group in Athens, Georgia, and has agreed to be on the show tonight to talk to us about the power of participating with your local Sangha if you should be lucky enough to have one. Welcome, Toni.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you.
Thank you for being on. So if I'm not mistaken, Toni, the group that you participate with meets once a week. Is that right?
Yes, meets every week, once a week.
Uh-huh. So like on a weekday evening kind of thing?
Yeah, ours meets on Monday evenings for about an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay. And I know some of the groups follow slightly different formats, but the structure of all of them is the same, and there are a number of them actually around the country. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to touch on which cities have groups available. But the basic structure of the groups is the same, and I wonder if you could tell us what the discussion group is structured around.
Well, what we're doing is we take a reading from one of Sherry's books, and the discussion is around that. And
mm-hmm.
right now we're, and for some months now, reading the book, Trying to Be Human.
Yeah.
And it's just been great because we have a reading, and everybody, all the groups all over the country are reading this same reading each week. And then the next week it'll be, you know, the next reading in the book. So it's just really powerful.
It is really powerful. I have a big smile on my face because it's one of my favorite moments of the week, actually, for us. Up at the monastery, we do it on Tuesday evening, so it's actually tonight, it's radio show evening, that we do our discussion group around whatever the reading is for that week, and it's so fun. I picture it, actually hadn't thought of it this way until you just said it, but it's like this wave that goes through the whole Sangha throughout the United States in a week, because I'm pretty sure that between all of the Sanghas, we have every day of the week covered. So on
wow.
a Sunday... You know, there's a group that starts the reading, and they look at what they look at, and then Monday comes, and then Tuesday, and it just kind of ripples through the whole country, and I love that image.
I do, too. I love it. I know. I like thinking about that there are people all over the country all reading this reading and discussing it.
Yeah. You know, I actually printed one out that's somewhat short. I thought it would be fun to read it. So people, in fact, I think it might be, if I'm not mistaken, I think it might be the reading for this week. It's called Already Enlightened. And as you say, it's from Trying to Be Human that Sherry wrote. And I'll just read it so folks can hear what we'll be talking about this week. Already Enlightened. Inherent goodness. In practicing meditation, we grow daily more accustomed to spaciousness, to a feeling of freedom. We begin to associate that experience with peace, with joy, with well-being, rather than with loss of identity and fear. If you are ever going to be free, you must be willing to prove to yourself that your true nature is inherent goodness, that when you stop doing everything else, goodness is what is there. You will never prove it to yourself as long as you believe the egocentric conditioning that says the only thing making you a good person is your inner judging and punishing and beating yourself in all the ways we do that. We must find the courage to stop judging and punishing yourself long enough to find out that who you are is goodness. And so that's what happens in the group, I think. The facilitator reads that, right?
Yes. Yeah, the facilitator will read that and then, you know, ask, you know, what we'd like to look at in light of that. And then people will, whoever wants to share can make gesho and then say whatever comes up for them and, you know, in that moment. And then someone else can make gesho and share. And it's been beautiful.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Because in my experience, you know, I see whatever I see in the reading, and then other people see things I just had not in 100 years thought of, and yet it so resonates with my experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
People get to receive the email through email, the reading, so they actually can look at it over time.
That's right. So if you're part of one of these groups and you get on the email mailing list for it, you get the reading, I guess it would be at the beginning of whatever that coming week is. And so let's say your group's on a, you know, Wednesday night, you might get the reading on Sunday. You get to kind of read it and consider it and then be ready to bring what you're seeing about it.
Right. Yeah, and it makes it really, for me, it gets deeper and deeper. Every time I even been recording it, so I'll listen to the reading off and on before time for group, and so then by the time group comes, I've heard it several times and just see more and more every time I hear it.
Oh, I love that. That is such a fun integration of the various practices. So you get the reading, you record it, and then you listen to it. So by the time it's time to have it for discussion, it feels like an old friend.
Yeah, and I'm always surprised. I continue to see more every time I hear it. It's amazing.
It is amazing. It is. It's so true. And, you know, I love that part, too, with recording it, because then, you know, so now that's part of your recording repertoire. So months later, I bet you listen to it and hear something completely new in it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And I'll bet, I know for me, often I find myself recording after group discussions about things that I saw in what other people said. So it just keeps growing and growing.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just such a great support. I feel like I learned so much about practice. And by taking just one reading a week, because I had read the book through several times, but by taking just one reading and devoting, you know, this much time to it and hearing what other people have to say, it just makes it really rich.
Yeah. And, you know, you just touched on something, Tony, that I want to ask you about. I don't know if you can find the words for it, but, you know, there are so many practice opportunities these days. You know, you can do email classes. You can do the at-home working meditation retreats. We've got daily peace quotes that come in. We're getting tweets all day long. There's so many ways to practice. So I wonder what you would say about why you feel like if you have a local Sangha, what about that feels important, feels an addition to your practice, to you and your experience?
Let's see. Well, for me, there's nothing like getting together with people in person and sitting and being in privileged environments and looking at whatever we're looking at, it's just beautiful, and I feel so supported by it.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's a good point, that there's something about being together physically in person that really lends extra support. Often at the end of a retreat, when we're talking to folks about how to support themselves going back home, we talk about the analogy of, so let's say you want to start a running practice, you want to get into shape. Well, so you can decide, okay, I'm going to go running every day or whatever it is. But if you make a deal with a friend that the two of you are going to meet at the lamppost at such and such a time to go running, your chances of actually showing up for it really increase. And as you said that, I saw that, I think that's the same for local Sangha. So, you know, am I going to sit and consider a reading by Sherry Huber and look at that for myself? Maybe, you know, especially with the recording practice, maybe I will. But coming together and having the support of in-person Sangha is really, it's a different level, isn't it?
It is. It really is. It just, it feels, I don't know, the support is, I just appreciate the support. And I feel like it really supports me, and then my daily meditation practice, there's, you know, morning after morning I sit by myself. I don't know if I'd keep doing it if, you know, there's something about having a weekly group that I to sit with that supports that.
Yeah.
Practice on my own.
Yeah. And you mentioned the privileged environment too, which, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you about is if, you know, people who are listening may have never done anything with us in person, maybe never meditated, never been to a spiritual group, never participated on any level, is everyone welcome at the group?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You don't have to have, you know, any particular experience or have meditated or meditated at all ever before. It's
and
there'll be
a,
there'll be an orientation. You can set up an orientation before starting to attend the group, and during the orientation can be guided and hear, you know, kind of how it goes and what to expect, all the basics.
Yeah. So it's really set up for everyone, for people who are at whatever place in practice they are completely welcome and hopefully would feel welcome, would feel like they could just slide right in and be shown the ropes and participate wherever they are.
Right. Because I feel like the facilitators really take great care in the orientations and do make people feel really welcome, or, you know, attempt to help people feel really welcome and explain things well for them.
Yeah. And, all the facilitators are folks who have been in practice a long, long time and trained a great deal to be in the position they're in, to be able to lead the groups. And so they're there to hold a privileged environment and to hold a space for practice. So, Tony, I wonder if you might give us a list of what cities there is a group. Where can people see them?
Yeah, I would love to. There's one in Mountain View in California, and, of course, at the monastery. There's one in San Francisco, and we mentioned there's one in Athens, Georgia, and also Asheville, North Carolina, and Bryson City, North Carolina. And there's one in Philadelphia, and there's one in Leesburg, Virginia, and there's a new one in Winchester, Virginia, and then Charleston, South Carolina. Then over in Texas, there's one in Cedar Park. And then also in California, there's Aptos in Chico. And then in Colorado, there's one in Salida. And there's even one in Honolulu. And St. Louis, there's one in Antrim, New Hampshire, York, Pennsylvania, and New York City.
That's an impressive list.
I know, it was exciting.
I have to say, California and the Southeast are definitely rich in Sangha opportunities.
I'm grateful for that.
Cool. Well, Tony, thank you so much for being on with us this evening and talking about the power of local Sangha.
It's my privilege. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
We'll turn it over to you, Michael.
Great. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Tony. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing really well. You know, you always ask me that question after I've listened to the good news. And it's just not possible not to be fine after listening to all of that. How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah, see there?
Great.
Yeah, we might have rough patches in the rest of the week, but when we get together and ask one another that question, we've always just been with Sangha, and and it feels great.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Can I share a little success?
Please.
So about 20 minutes ago, I was starting to get ready for the show, and the information came in that I had not gotten the toll-free number ready. And it was just so great because it just appeared there.
Oh, wow. So you didn't get an email or text and nobody called you. It just appeared in your mind.
Yeah. And the great thing is, you know, I have checklists for things like this so that
that doesn't happen.
And, you know, somehow I missed the checklist today. But still, awareness is there working away in the background, paying attention to everything.
Yes. And on your side.
Yes.
I had one of those. I had an appointment in a place that is unfamiliar to me. I had been there once before, but a long, long time ago. And I got directions, and I was getting ready to go. And same thing, the information dropped in. You don't know whether to turn left or right on that street.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as if somebody had stepped up behind me and told me that.
Huh?
And I looked, and sure enough, I didn't have that information. And so I was able to call and get the information, and everything went smooth as silk. And I thought at the time, as I bet you did too, that if conditioned mind were yammering away about what's wrong and what's the current problem, the information would have been there, but we wouldn't have gotten it. We wouldn't have received it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just on retreat for the last few days, and one of the questions that I'm always asked, always, is, well, how do you ever make a decision? How do you know what to do? And until somebody has had that kind of experience, it's really difficult to get them to be open to the possibility that you just simply get the information.
Yeah?
But as soon as it happens, you know that that's true. I don't need to figure it out. I don't need to think about it. I don't need to anything. Because at the right time, the information will arise.
So great.
Love and practice.
Yeah. I have some announcements here.
All right. We can check Omega off the list.
Yes. I hear the spot is still open for the TINW upcoming very soon. That's June 4th through 11th. And folks can email the registration office if they're interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
You will be at Big Sur very soon, the weekend of June 10th through 12th, for spirituality and business, and you are co-leading that workshop with Mark Lesser.
Yes.
June 18th through 25th, There Is Nothing Wrong With You, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Hmm. A few spots left in that.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's filling up fast. Word is out.
Word is out.
Yeah, we just can't get somebody who happens to be in the neighborhood and wants to do it. So there's still plenty of time to make those plane reservations. That's the good part about that one.
Yes. And then you'll be at Namaste in Felton, California, July 29th and 30th. What do power, success, and fun have in common?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Mm-hmm.
August 12th through 14th, that's a weekend, you'll be at Esalen talking about what do these questions have in common.
Yes,
and
here's the interesting part. I hope I'm not giving away the punchline. People could come with any question they have, and we could see what they have in common.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that good? That's just good to consider.
For example, how do you ever make a decision?
Exactly.
And then on Saturday, October 1st, the 10th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk.
Yes, which we're all getting pretty darn excited about.
And I'm very excited because we have lots of callers. And
let's talk to them.
Yes, and they're going to focus on one topic for about 5 minutes.
Perfect.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Anna from England.
Hi.
Hello, Anna.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi. I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. What's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah. Well, I'm ringing because I'm able to this evening, and I really enjoyed last week's show. I always, if I've not stayed up, I always listen to it the next morning on my way to work in the car. And it was really great. So it was all about urgency, and I loved all of it, and I loved all of the callers because it's sort of... I was thinking, oh, I wish I could have stayed up and sort of phoned in as well because I would have said here also. Because
you know a little something about urgency?
Yeah, it really fits with, because of course I'm job hunting and I haven't got a full-time job yet and I didn't get that job that I went for, which is fine. But there's lots and lots of urgency around job hunting in all sorts of little in all sorts of ways. Sort of there's got to get a job, or full time job, and then and then when I'm applying for jobs, and then the voices are saying, oh, but if you get that one, then these hours won't work with that, and then how will you? Do you see what I mean? And none of it ever. it's all listening to it, or hearing to it listening to it is really good, because I am hearing it, you know, whereas once upon a time I wouldn't have even realised that it was going on. But
yeah.
I can see that it's all such a big waste of time. But the urgency thing is really great, and I loved the show, and I found it really helpful. So good.
It's so difficult for us because, of course, it always hits us with what we believe, right?
Right.
So, you know, you need to get a job.
Yeah.
You know, you need to get a job. So there, that's believable, you know, because it's true, you know, you need to get a job. And so once we hook in at that level, or once, you know, we agree, and it's can't not because it's true, then it's just, you know, it just sets that hook, and the torture begins, right?
Yeah.
So yes, I do need to get a job, and I don't need to be tortured. Those two things actually don't have anything to do with each other.
So it has been really good that I mean I've been through sort of so much because I really thought we're, you know, going to be out on the streets and everything, but we're not, and everything's okay still, and and I'm really glad that, cause I've sort of been through lots of ups and downs sort of this last year, and I can see that I'm really glad of it, because I wouldn't have got to where I am now without it all. So even though I have been really tortured and been at the bottom of the quagmire and the soup and everything, I can see that has been, it's like when you say we're always at exactly the place that we need to be, and that's been something that has really been helping me, and I've been listening to that. Anything, I've been saying lots of words to that effect on my recordings, so everything is okay. All is well, and you're in exactly the place that you need to be. That's been really super. So I can see that everything that's happened has been really, really great, really good. And that, so there never was any urgency.
It's so hard for us to remember that when we're right in the middle of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that whatever it hits us with next, that it's the same process. It's really just there for us to see through what it does to attempt to make us thoroughly miserable.
Yeah. And for me, one of the biggest things, so when I've done all of the every sort of email class that I've done with you and all your books, and whenever I've done any journaling and writing, one of my biggest sort of karmic things, I suppose, might be feeling safe. So one of the biggest things for me is not having my home anymore. So before Christmas, I was in really, really such a state, and I did an email class, and recording listening was a complete lifesaver for all of that, and the fact that it went on for so long as well. And so I sort of come out of it the other side saying, it will be okay. If I don't have my home anymore, I will still be okay. But for me to be able to say that is, it's really, 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 really big. So I can see, go on.
It's all true, isn't it?
You
get to the place where I mean, it's one of those God forbid, you know, we certainly hope and pray that the worst doesn't happen. But that deep down faith, I guess, is what it comes down to, that, you know, we'll get through it. Whatever comes, I'm gonna be here for you. It's everything. Again, I know I always say this, but it's really all we've got. Everything else is going to fall away.
So it's a really one of the really biggest things sort of to happen to me, other than when I first discovered your books, of course, a few years back now.
When you started down the path,
that's
right. A big moment, isn't it? It's that you were consciously on the path, right? Because looking back, we can realize, oh, I've been on the path all along. I just
I can see that. So just thought I would ring because I can ring today and just to say that it's all brilliant. Thank you very much for doing the radio show.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you.
And I'll ring when I next can and keep you updated on the job front.
Okay, good. That's the thing about Sangha. You know, people want to know. Not in a personality, social kind of way, but, you know, people all over the world are connected to people's lives. And, you know, it's really true because everybody, when you get the job that you really want, lots and lots and lots of people are going to be really happy for you. It's a beautiful thing. All right.
Fantastic.
Well, good night to you.
Okay, and to you too, and to Michael. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be back.
Right.
What's this from Living Compassion? If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Jen. How are you?
Hi.
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting a little self-hate because I called last week, but I really wanted to call back in at least quickly this week. So if you want to just hang up on me, it's okay.
Yes, we probably will any moment now. But in the meantime, what's going on?
It was incredibly helpful. Everything that was just pointed to, just said by the first caller, all of the the whole thing about urgency. And I just wanted to kind of really stay with this. So that's why I wanted to quickly call back in that I just sort of sat with everything that was, you had asked me to, you know, you were giving me a chance to look at with this urgency around making this choice of doing this one thing or the other. And
or both.
Or both, right. That was more that, yes. And I really saw, well, I think now I'm sort of in that place of like, can I even trust who is in here? So that's why I wanted to keep really an eye on it. But yes, I really am getting, it feels like I'm getting more clear that, yeah, that I don't want to, the heart, or somebody does not want to do both at all. That sounds, you know, overwhelming and whatever, like this, with the content piece of like becoming a director and running and operating this yoga teacher training program, like, I don't want to do that, but it just meets so much conditioning because I haven't had a sort of traditional job in a few years now. I always was like the breadwinner and had all those things, and I have so much conditioning to kind of, you know, be important and busy and be a good, hardworking person or something. And so it felt like if I keep busy, I think this is what's going on, is like, let me keep as busy as possible.
Yes.
So that I can meet conditioning standards that tell me that I'm a good, right, productive, hardworking person, you know?
Well, right up until the moment that it starts pointing out that you're overwhelmed and you can't do it and what's the matter with you, and you see you're just not. So it's really, I mean, yes, you're supposed to believe that it's going to approve of you for doing this. But of course, it won't approve of you for doing this because approving is not what it does.
Yes, that's so true. Yeah. I'm so glad you didn't
say that.
Yes, I think I wouldn't have even seen that until I had gotten knee deep in it and then realized, oh no, one more thing where it's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So it's just been really neat. Like, I kind of contacted all the people who, you know, were involved in, you know, maybe I was going to be running this thing, and was like, you know, I need a little bit of space. I'm feeling that maybe this isn't quite the right choice, and I need to just sort of, you know, put it on pause. And then I got to watch all the guilt conditioning because I should, you know, it will help these people who really want it, and I have the skills to do it, and a good person would do it, you know, all this stuff. But I also got to see, you know, I don't know, I'm just watching all of this, but I felt, somebody felt just so relieved and relaxed and was kind of like, oh, you know, maybe I could just like come home at a decent time and see my husband and I could like relax more. And somebody was really excited to think maybe I don't need to take on a million things just to kind of prove something. And that, it was really, really neat to watch.
Well, especially to prove something to conditioning.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So I have a curiosity question about this. Have
yes.
you polled your husband on this whole thing?
Well, he's out of town, but you know, he was actually excited for me to take on this yoga teacher training program thing because I was thinking about this. He was excited about it because he said to me, wow, you seemed really excited about this. And as I sat with that, I realized I was excited, I think, because a part of me got fooled again and thought, ooh, maybe finally now I'll meet the standard and be a good enough person and, you know, the whole thing. And I think that was the place that I had talked to him about it, like, oh, you know, yes, this will finally be the thing where I feel, you know, good enough about myself. And that's the excitement that I project he saw.
Yeah. So he probably would not say, yes, I think you ought to take these two things because really us spending time together is not that important to me.
No, this whole time of, you know, this different position where he's kind of the breadwinner, like I feel, you know, I realize we're very fortunate and I know that could change at any moment. But right now, like we're really okay financially, you know, I bring in a little bit of income, but we're okay, you know, we're just fine.
Yeah.
And he keeps saying, we're
bitter.
Fine.
He's not bitter and resentful and saying, you know, I like eating dinner alone every night, really.
Right. No, he's fine. He keeps it really what he tells me all the time is, you know, I would just like you to be happy, whatever that is. And of course, you know, I keep chasing conditioning standards and not
So this new work that we're doing, just I know you know, but it's always just good for us to bring it back because it's what he's pointing at. How do you want to be?
Yeah.
You know, so again, in this specific conditioning promises that if you do this, this, and this, you'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You'll feel satisfied. You will, because being the person you should be, the only reason to be the person you should be is that then you'll get to feel the way that you get to feel after that. So you would get to feel relaxed and satisfied and comfortable or complete or whatever the heck the word is that goes with that. And so that's how it gets us to chase after all these crazy things and to get us to fall repeatedly for these setups, because you have to do whatever this is in order to get to feel the way you want to feel. Of course, I think that relief that you felt with the idea of perhaps not doing so much might be close to the way you'd like to feel.
Yes, I know. It was like, wow, I think I'm relaxed and happy. Like, right?
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So I just
you know, Jen, to me, that's kind of the place that I hope we're all going, is to do, if we're doing what life is guiding us to do, what life has for us to do, we can do it and be relaxed and happy.
It doesn't.
Life has its ups and downs, and you know, challenges and stresses and all of that. But we can do what we're doing in a relaxed and happy way. And if that's not the case, then we're probably following something other than what life wants for us.
Yes, that's so. I'm just so grateful. I thank you so much for helping me to see, because I was just totally like, you know, it feels like under the influence of the voices. And I was like, you know, oh my gosh.
I know Alex is listening into this, so that phrase just sounds like something for the voices, doesn't it? Under the influence.
It does. They really should give
it's
get
kind
for
of
that.
Like a, yeah, living under the influence instead of driving under the influence, you know, when it's got us and we're just drunk on the, you know, the stuff that it's feeding us.
Yes, and we're probably such a danger to ourselves and others in that state.
Yeah.
So,
we shouldn't live while under the influence. She'd be out there in life.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm just kind of like watching now, like, right, it's funny, like I had a couple other, you know, offers to sort of do other things, and I've just been like, I can't make any decisions right now. And I just sort of email people back like, I'm not sure, because I just feel like, wow, I do not want conditioning to make this choice, and I'm not clear, so I'm just not going to do anything right now. And I don't know if that's the space to go with it, but that's where I've been right now. So,
Is it? I can't remember her name. She's a great woman, Vipassana teacher. The title of her book is something like "Don't just do something, sit there."
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Ugh. Well, thank you so much. I mean, conditioning is screaming because I'm the wrong person, and I need to, you know, get a job that pays more than, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. It's really uncomfortable, but somebody is really relaxed and happy. So I'm really grateful to look at all this.
Yeah, and just keep breathing right on through it.
Yeah. Don't believe those stories, right? Okay.
Don't believe
all right.
them. Hey, I think you did the right thing by calling in, don't you?
Yes, I think so. I'll try to not believe that story either. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. Sure, have a wonderful rest of the show. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
Michael.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open It with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Yep.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Isabel calling from San Francisco.
Well, good evening.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Good.
So I am calling to report back on the homework you gave me 3 weeks ago.
Excellent.
So I was getting a lot of self-hate about listening to the previous time I had called into the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you encouraged me to sort of put the young subpersonalities in a room and encourage them to stay there and then put on a superhero outfit and go out and listen to the show.
Uh-huh.
And it was really helpful. It was really good. And what I saw through doing that was that doing that physical, those two physical steps really helped me be more clear about when I was getting re-identified with a young part of myself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you could say, now, honey, you need to get back in there. Here, take those color crayons and that paper and get in there and draw me a picture.
Exactly.
I
was listening to the show, and then I would I'm noticing it's a lot very physical, so I would like start shaking or sometimes, you know, tears would start coming up, and then I could say, well, okay, that's not the superhero.
Right.
And then I walked into the room and I would talk to that part and invite them to stay in the room, you know, where it was all safe and cozy, and come back out. And I did that multiple times. And what I really learned from that was that there's like a subpersonality that feels very much like one of those skin subpersonalities,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've been like really identified with that one that it's, and it has been like the kind of best one that I could pull forward that felt, you know, very much like the adult who was going to come and do the work, but then deep underneath it, like she would get afraid and believe there was something wrong with her.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't kind of tell until I did this exercise. It's like, okay, no, that's not me either.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That is some subtle stuff, isn't it? And to feel it at that level, to actually be able to feel, no, that's not me. That's mm-hmm. I haven't hit the authentic nature yet, or I haven't hit center yet.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Because it was kind of like, well, the superhero wouldn't be afraid, and the superhero like wouldn't be also scared of the feelings from the young parts.
Yes. Yes.
Gosh,
that is so powerful. I hope other people listening will take that, you know, do that exercise as an experiment. Because I was just doing a retreat or a workshop, and I would say to people, you know, that person talking now is not you. And they just kind of look at me like, I know you're speaking English, but I have no idea what you're talking about. So to be able to do an experiment where you have that clarity is really powerful.
Mm-hmm. It really was. I think it was the physical, doing those physical activities
mm-hmm.
really
mm-hmm.
helped with the disidentification.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The why and wherefore of that is you have to be disidentified in order to be willing to do that. Because conditioning would never be willing to do it.
Uh-huh.
So even to consider it, you're disidentified. To actually get up and do it, you're really disidentified. And that the way you did it, the going back and forth, you feel it and go take care of that person and then come back, and that whole process so that you could then see, oh, and there's a space for the clarity to come in. Oh, a superhero isn't going to be afraid of that. So the level of disidentification was pretty complete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really great. And then I got to listen to the show and the conversation we'd had and got all sorts of insights from the things that you had said to me and recorded those. So I could see also how, like, conditioning is isolating me and keeping me from teachings and learning and having a nice time and, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly doing everything it can to make sure that happens. And so there was nothing horrible in that conversation at all?
No.
Yeah.
It was like we actually sounded like we were having a nice time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, conditioning, I mean, there were things where it would say like, oh, now we're getting, now that point is coming. And I would stop and I would look and I couldn't tell who was saying that because it didn't have a you and I couldn't tell if it was conditioning or a scared part or maybe both coming up at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when that came up, I knew like, okay, so this is a point to stop and and do some recording and maybe walk back into the bedroom and just kind of regroup. And so it definitely did bring up things like that. But when I could get through them, it was actually like quite enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah. So once again, what we can take from that is those voices lie.
Yeah.
They just flat out lie. And to, to do something experiential, tangible, that confronts them and proves that they lie. So that, it's obviously a big win for you and a big loss for them. That's the kind of thing that takes practice to new levels.
Yeah. It does feel like peeling back another layer of the onion.
Yep, and they're a little more afraid, and you're a whole lot less afraid.
Yeah, because I feel like I can use this process with other things.
Yeah.
When I start to feel really identified to get more clarity.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for that exercise. That was really great.
Good. Well, thank you for letting us know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, see you soon.
Take care. All right.
Okay, good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Isabel. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Good.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carrie from Colorado, and I just have to say, woohoo! I finally made it on the radio show.
Well, congratulations and welcome.
Thank you. Oh, this is like the sixth time I've tried over many years, and I've found various ways to not make it on. You know, I've been bumped off. I've ended up in like purgatory where there was music playing. It was very interesting. So I can hardly believe it.
Oh, how are you? Quite a journey.
Yeah. Well, what's fun about this is that the voices have told me, especially they're telling me a lot recently, that I'm only a part of Sangha at arm's length. I'm not part of the real Sangha. And, yeah, that's pretty clever to catch on. And I almost didn't try calling again tonight because that voice was coming. I'm like, well, no, I think, even though I tried last week, I will try again. And if I don't get through, I will sit and listen to everything. I, of course, learn something from everybody. And but it is the icing on the cake that I actually got on.
Good. I'm glad it worked that way. Now, do you want to tell me about Sangha at a distance or was there something else?
Well, actually, I was thinking of that a lot today because I've been doing stuff with like the email classes, and I'm doing the recording and listening, and I was trying to think how long I've been involved with the practice, and it's been quite a long time, and yet next week I'm going finally to the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. So it's taken that long for me to get to a retreat.
Good for you.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of been, that was sort of my answer back at some point to the voices when they were saying, well, you're not really part of Sangha, and, there's not really room for you in Sangha. Sometimes it was Sangha's fault, sometimes it was mine, and
right. So, it's very flexible that way. It's your fault, it's their fault, it's your fault,
right.
It's their fault.
Yeah, so, Sangha at arm's length, I guess, just meant not ever having a direct personal connection, I guess, and which actually isn't true because, I've done email classes and I've gotten responses from, whoever was leading the email class at the time and that kind of thing. But
that would be me.
It was you. I think most of there was the money one. I think that you didn't do, but
well, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I've done them all.
Oh wow, good for you.
So I thought, I was really excited when I finally was able to get myself together and the schedule worked out and I could do the retreat. And I thought, well, that'll sure make it feel direct and personal.
It certainly will.
Of course, and that didn't shut the voices up, did it? What I actually did want to talk about was this idea that I realized recently that some things that I have done in the past few years, that have been good for me, somehow became non-negotiable. I was able to establish them as non-negotiable. And it's like, yes, this is what I'm doing. I'm sitting in the morning. That's non-negotiable. And the voices might peep up a little bit about that, but it's non-negotiable. So instead, they kind of go looking for other things. When I first got confirmation that I could come to the retreat, I thought, I signed up a while ago, so I've had months. And I thought, what's going to happen now? What are they going to hit me with? And part of me stepped forward and said, feeling miserable about, or being made to feel terrible about going to the street is non-negotiable. It's just, you're going to feel good and excited about going on this retreat. And it worked really well till today. And today, it's only 4 days away. And so I really have been being hit hard with some things about how, here comes the retreat. Here comes a bunch of chances for you to do everything in practice wrong. You're gonna do every part of it wrong. You're gonna break all the rules. And what I guess I'm happy about is it's getting my attention. It is getting my attention. But I am at least recognizing that that's what it is.
Yes, and that's about the most important realization a person can have about practice. It's hitting you with all this stuff. And, of course, you're meant to take it personally and feel bad, cancel at the last minute if you can. Cancel, in fact, so at the last minute. and then make a big stink about getting your money back so that you could come back again. But instead, it's hitting you with all this stuff, and you're seeing what it's doing. That's awareness practice.
Yeah, and it's getting a little ticked off, I think, because there is this message of everyone, once in a while, self-hate and ego, they slip up, because they want you to think that they're you, but they'll say something like, I'm going to sabotage your retreat, and I'll be like, whoa, mentor, when I record that, the mentor says, well, that sounds like a little bit of proof that it's not you.
Yeah, that one was a big mistake.
Yeah. Well, another big one that came through once when I was listening to my recording, and I was down at the park on a walk, and it said something like, I can be smarter than your recordings. And I thought, wow, there's another one. Just so blatant. Yeah.
So blatant. that's offensive, isn't it? It's like, what kind of an idiot do you think I am that you're going to say these things to me, and I'm going to go right on letting you be in that's a huge step forward when you get that kind of information.
I had the thought that actually at some point recently, I can't remember if it was on the radio show or one of the tweets, there was a message that came through that it is possible to not believe what self-hate or what ego tells you. And I realized that, that is still part of what I'm clinging to. I'm still believing it on some level. And so I thought, what what I'm setting my intention to be is that I want to know that not believing the voices of self-hate or ego is non-negotiable. That will become non-negotiable.
Yeah. I like that non-negotiable stuff. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's certainly something like a touchstone I can keep coming back to. Oh, wait, no, we're not negotiating.
No, we're not negotiating that. Yeah, I like that. I'm going to steal it, okay? Just for you to be prepared when you hear me talk about it. I always like to tell people when I'm going to steal their stuff because that just seems like a fair thing to do. There was something about that. Since you're looking at the level you're looking, it's just possible that what is believing this still, given the level of insight that you have about it, might actually not be you.
Right.
So, so when we talk about, and the previous caller was talking about the skin, that it's just so me that it's just me. I mean, that's all. We've gone as deep as we can get, and this is the real me. To be a little suspicious that when that's going on, there might be a takeover. That it's actually it believing what it's saying.
I had always thought of, I could be identified with a subpersonality that might be believing it, but I never thought about it. It could be both parts.
It could be a subpersonality, but it could also be that it has just slid in and taken over. You're identified with it at such a subtle level that there isn't an awareness of that yet. And so it can get into a conversation with itself.
Of course it loves that when I realize, I'm believing this or beat me up for believing it.
Precisely.
Oh, you're still believing this.
Yes. So that's another big clue, isn't it? So next time that starts, see if you can get, and it's just really a feeling more than anything else, that there's a conversation going on that you are watching, kind of like a tennis match. Mm-hmm. So the voices are convincing somebody, and that somebody is listening and relating to them, and just see what feels like you when that's going on.
Okay. All right.
Some subtle stuff, huh?
Yes, I know. I've been listening to enough open air over the years to know. Yeah, it's definitely subtle stuff. But I'm very tickled to have made it on the show. This just
me too. Excited to have you joining us next week.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. That's completely non-negotiable. No last minute cancellation, no.
Right.
I have the ride to the airport. I have it all figured out. So whatever happens, happens, and I'm sure I'll be in good hands.
Yes. Yeah, we'll take good care of you. Not to worry.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
And one other thing. Mm-hmm. One other thing before you go, that I just always like to take this kind of opportunity to say, is that it's really not possible to do it wrong in practice, as long as it's coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That,
that's
of
key.
Course, self-hate can take over and make people act out in really some unbelievably hideous ways. But just going around doing the best you can, nobody's watching to see if you break the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people might write you a little note encouraging you, not to wear your shoes into the meditation hall or that sort of thing. But that's all it means is, please don't wear your shoes in the meditation hall. There's no
hidden
messenger.
You did it all wrong.
That's right. It doesn't mean that.
I will keep that in mind because those are sort of, the doing it wrong is a real hot button for me. So.
Oh, yeah. It takes us back to being about 6 years old in a real hurry.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. See you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Safe travels. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Carrie. You're listening to Open Air. Jerry, there's some inspiring folks out there.
There are.
We've
noted before, we have a great sangha.
We have an amazing sangha.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Jerry, Michael, it's Jodine. Usually from San Francisco, but calling you from Kentucky, where I'm spending my vacation with my family.
Well, very good that you're calling.
Yes, and the big reason that I wanted to call is conditioning told me that I couldn't, because I called last week and I called the week before. And
you
three
are
times
really,
in a row is...
Yes. You are really over your limit, aren't you?
Over the edge, totally. This is getting way too much. That's actually one of the things I've recorded that the voices say is, this schedule is way too much.
Uh-huh.
Compared
to what, we don't know.
Yeah, well, the nonstop assault from conditioning.
Say it again.
I am visiting my parents and in the town where I grew up and where a couple of my sisters still live. And on this particular trip, I am accompanied by my husband, who I just married last October. And because of my life living in California far from home, my family had never met the man that I married. and so he is, meeting the family for the first time.
Bless his heart. How's everybody doing?
Everybody is doing just fine. One of my nieces is like totally in love with him, my 10-year-old niece. And I think most importantly, I have been able, through my practice of supporting all the parts of myself that I can kind of possibly identify, I am seeing through again and again how conditioning says it's going to be one way, or this happened, so that means it's all a disaster, kind of. I'm seeing through that moment by moment by moment. And seeing that none of it's true. and so many unexpected things happen. Like, nobody knows what's going to happen in the future. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the next moment. My mentor tells me that I have that on my recording. And so, you know, and so when I hear that, I can know that it's just not true. And one little really interesting thing that happened today was I had decided that one support that I wanted to provide for myself while I'm on this trip was to go to a yoga class or two. And because, you know, it's a new town and I was trying to figure out where I could go to yoga and, you know, the schedule wasn't quite fitting exactly some of the activities we'd planned, I ended up, instead of going to a yoga class that was kind of at my level as a longtime practitioner of yoga, I ended up in a gentle yoga class, which had a large number of regular attendees who had some pretty serious physical limitations, not unlike some of the physical limitations that my parents, who are nearing their 80s, experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed the class had this wonderful feeling of what a gift it was to myself to recognize that that would nurture somebody inside me to do that,
yeah.
And then to actually show up there on time, ready to go, with some props I borrowed and rented, you know, like just that, just the gratitude that I felt from that person. And then later in the day, as I was recounting to my mother in particular what I had done over the day, she was saying, gosh, I wish I could get into a yoga class, but I just can't sit down on the floor. It's too hard for me. And as it happened, there were like three people in the yoga class I went to who could not sit on the floor, were sitting on chairs and doing a modified version of every single pose led by the instructor.
When we cheerfully go where life leads us, the
yeah.
miracles just never stop, do they?
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, so it was, I'm getting like, the hairs on my arms are raising up right now just thinking about it, you know, because my mom's mm-hmm. like, how much is that class? And like, you know, like she's, would go and try it. And, you know, and conditioning would tell, you know, conditioning was just speechless because that's not the caricature of my mother that conditioning, you know, created at some point and maintains at all costs.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so the fact that, I don't know how to quite say this, but it's your openness to be different enables you to see that your mother is different from who conditioning has pigeonholed her as.
So much, yes, because, you know, when it turned out that the first time I saw my mom today was at, like 5 o'clock. We had decided it wasn't going to work, so we'll get together just for dinner. And you know, when I only have a week to be here, conditioning would have had me all tied up in knots about you're not taking advantage of the time that you could be with your mother, you know. But the fact is that I was doing something very different. And when I showed up at the house today, you know, I was way more relaxed than I would have been if I had dropped the yoga class and said, okay, I'll take you to your doctor appointment instead, and, you know, whatever. With, you know, the alternative way the day could have gone where I would have had to break my commitment to myself.
Yes, and this way you also got a gift for your mother.
Yes, I hope so. Yeah, even if it was just an opening.
Yeah.
And yeah, so.
I love good
so,
news.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. There's a big smile on my face. And I'm glad I got through today. So.
Me too. Keep having fun.
Oh, yes. And also I have to say that I've gone through kind of the second to last hurdle to getting everything arranged to be on the deepening practice retreat in July. And when I get back to work next week, I am going to find out if one little thing that needs to fall into place for somebody to cover for me for a couple of days during that month, which I completely expect is going to fall into place. And that will be my, that will be the last thing. And then I'll be on the road to DPT.
Excellent. I think it's going to be a good time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
Good. All right. Well, it's, it is good to hear a happy story. I'm hoping that maybe while you're there, you and your mother can go to a yoga class together, which would be very fun. And if not, hopefully she'll follow up on her own and be launched into a whole new stage of her life.
Yeah, I hope so, too. We're actually going to a water aerobics class tomorrow morning. So.
Oh, fun.
Okay. Yeah, so, which was something that started on my last trip here, like me and one of my sisters initiated with my mom about 7 or 8 months ago, last time I was visiting.
That's perfect.
So,
good.
Yeah.
All right.
So thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Miracles never cease, Sherry.
They don't. You know, it's we practice, the whole family gets the benefit.
Yes.
It's a very good thing.
Yes. It's
yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir.
Talk to you next week.
Sounds great. I'll talk to you then.
All right. Good night.
Good night.